The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
Football season is here. Looking for a place to make all your football online wagers? Then head to betonline.ag and use promo code PODCAST1 to receive a 50% sign-up bonus when signing up today. betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. Hey, man. Or a woman. Are you one of the millions of Americans who suffers from muscle cramps in your legs and feet? Well, listen up, because relief is finally in sight. TheraWorks Relief is a topical foam that's clinically proven to relieve muscle cramps fast and with daily use. TheraWorks Relief can even prevent muscle cramps before they start. The results speak for themselves. TheraWorks Relief is the real deal. TheraWorks Relief is a life-changing product, and best of all, you don't even need a prescription. It only takes minutes to apply, absorbs quickly, and it really works. TheraWorks Relief is my choice for preventing and relieving muscle cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at select CVS, Rite Aid, and Walgreens pharmacies, or at TheraWorksRelief.com. That's TheraWorksRelief.com.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
From Hollywood, California, by way of the Broken Skull Ranch, this is the Steve Austin Show.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Now, here's Steve Austin.
All right, everybody, welcome to Steve Austin Show. I am coming to you from the Silver State over here in Nevada at the Broken Skull Ranch 2.0. Having a damn good time, ripping everything up here in Nevada. On four wheels, my nephew Neil Wiggin came down to visit. We flew his ass in from Texas. He's been out there working in South Texas at a cotton farm, driving tractors, messing with chemicals, and earning some money so he can get his ass over to Texas A&M University and continue his education as a freshman there. Neil, what you gonna major in?
Industrial distribution.
There you go. You heard it here first on the Steve Austin Show. So we've been out here riding four-wheelers, riding side-by-sides, riding my mules, driving a Bronco. If it's got four wheels, four-wheel drive, that's what we've been doing. Going down to Lake Tahoe, having a good time. So today is a conversation with my nephew about all the headaches, hassles, and horse shit. And there's going to be some bullshit in this podcast, too, because anytime me and Neil hook up, we're always ribbing each other and having a damn good time. So before we get to Neil, my conversation with him, let me tell you guys about how to get your feet right with my new sponsor, Tecovas Boots. Tecovas Boots are handmade, high-quality boots that won't leave you broke. They only sell their cowboy boots straight from the factory to you, meaning you get a better boot for a fraction of the price. Like the cowboy boots of old, Tecovas Boots are made in over 200 steps, each one meticulously carried out by hand in one of the oldest boot-making factories in the world. Soft, glove-like calf skin, buttery suede, and ultra-comfortable exotic leathers are the Tecovas calling card, requiring little to no break-in time. The best part, Tecovas takes the risk out of buying boots online with free shipping, free exchanges, and a free 30-day return policy. I've been working with Tecovas to find the perfect fit for me, and I like the Duke Ostrich style, and they'll be here this week. I'm looking forward to trying them out. Right now, for listeners of the Steve Austin Show, I'm giving you the drop on my curated collection of boots and accessories exclusively at tecovas.com/Steve. One more time, that's tecovas.com/Steve, T-E-C-O-V-A-S, to check out my personally curated collection of boots from Tecovas Boots. Do it for your damn feet and look good doing it.
Have you checked out the big podcast with Shaq here at Podcast One? Yeah, we talk basketball, but we're a lot more than just sports.
I met this fabulous lady. She's had to be in her 70s, knew everything about me, knew everything about sports. And the last thing she says, I love your podcast. And
I'm wow. Like, thank you very much. Oh,
but I hate that John Kincaid.
Oh, no.
That's terrible.
Listen free to the big podcast with Shaq exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.
This is the Steve Austin Show.
All right, everybody, I'm sitting here at Broken Skull Ranch 2.0 with my nephew Neil Wiggin. Hey, man, you're on Twitter and Instagram. Let's get that out of the way real quick. Where you at?
My Instagram is just lowercase, all lowercase, Neil Wiggin, and then my Twitter is Neil_Wiggin3.
How in the hell you spell Wiggin?
I believe
W-E-I-G-A-N-D.
No. You've known me for 18 years. You don't know how to spell my last name. It's a shame.
Go ahead.
It is W-I-E-G-A-N-D. And my Twitter is, just to double check, I was wrong, actually. My Twitter is NeilWigand73. I've had too many. I've had like four Twitters, actually.
Why?
Dude, I forget my passwords.
Why'd you have to get on your phone to spell your last name?
No, I had to get on my phone to check my Twitter account because I have too many.
Well, see, yeah, I should have used the old I before E except after C equation.
It works, except it doesn't work in my first name. Do you know how to spell my first name?
Yeah, I do. N-E-I-L.
You got it, Toyota.
What'd you call me?
I said, you got it, Toyota.
Why would you call your uncle Toyota?
It's a saying.
I never heard that saying.
You've never heard that.
I ain't never called nobody Toyota. I called a lot of people a lot of things, but I ain't never, hey, Toyota, come over here, you son of a bitch. No,
that's not how it works.
I ain't never, no. How's it work? What's it mean? You're a millennial. Explain it to me. Break it down.
Okay, you got it, Toyota.
Let me catch my breath real quick. I just got finished chasing a damn fly. We was over here at the recording studio at the Broken Skull Ranch 2.0. Neil's over here snickering and laughing while I'm trying to chase this damn fly around. This fly coming through, redlining. I guarantee you, Neil, you're a big car fan. The way he was flying to me sounded like V12. He was about 10,000 RPM.
Yeah.
He was redlining.
Yeah.
He would have flew himself to death. I was trying to chase him down with the pillow. He got on the window. I damn near broke a couple of windows with the pillow trying to kill his ass, and he got away. And then I took a wild swing, hit myself in the gimmicks, and said, F it, I'll let the sumbitch live.
I really wish y'all all could have seen him chase that damn fly around, guys. I mean, he was so serious. He was looking around, and he cocked back his arm, and he swung on it, and he just missed, and it was hilarious.
Yeah, you got to understand something, baby brother. This is a damn award-winning podcast. It ain't never won
exactly.
A goddamn thing. And Rod, you're out there. I said G-O-T, damn. He gets mad when I use the...
I say
you're,
got.
You're a religious fellow yourself. Yeah. I don't want to
I say got.
Insult you.
Got?
Got.
Got.
And that makes it legal.
Yeah.
You're not using anybody's name in vain.
No.
You shouldn't be cussing too much anyway. You're a fine, upstanding young citizen of the world headed to Texas A&M University here in a couple of weeks. You've got to set an example for all the other millennials out there. Yeah. Kelly, would you knock it off? We're trying to record an award-winning podcast here. Do you believe this? It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. I can't believe she's acting like this.
Man, it's been a couple of days since you've been down here. Flew into the Silver State by way of Texas. Man, you had a hell of a damn summer. Real productive summer.
Oh, yeah.
You was riding out, you was working out there with some rice farmers, running some real expensive tractors, a lot of responsibility in the heat. How was it? Did you make some money?
Yeah, it was actually a cotton farm.
Cotton farm?
They have it all. I mean, cotton, corn, rice, anything. Mostly my job was hauling chemical to high boys that were spraying all the cotton and transporting tractors here and there. One day we pulled a bull out of the mud. That was pretty interesting.
And you know, lucky, because a lot of times when you're pulling a cow or bull or whatever out of the mud, it don't end well.
No.
But this he got up and walked off.
Yeah. We pulled him out, and he was looking bad. He'd probably been in there for 2 days at least. He was really tired. And we got that rope around him, kind of tied him a harness around him, and we pulled him out. And I had to look away when they pulled him out. It was a little rough.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to see something pop that I didn't want to see, you know. But he stood there, and he got up and went on about his day. We went back to that field a couple weeks later, and I saw that same bull because he was a little smaller than all the other ones. And he's still doing good, staying out of the mud.
One time I got stuck in the mud. I was walking. Before I knew it, man, I was up to my knees, up to my waist, and, man, I was damn near up to my belly, damn near right below my chest, right below my nipples. And I was there for, I don't know, 11 or 12 days. Dude comes by. He's driving a Chevy Duramax, a one ton, and he looked at me. Damn, dude, you all right? I said, no, does it look like I'm all right? I'm stuck in the damn mud. He goes, you want me to pull you out? I said, yeah. And so, hell, he threw me a damn chain, hooked it to his damn bumper, and, man, he just started going, you know, and the damn tire started spinning. He had 35s on that thing.
Oh, yeah?
You have Goodrich all-terrain tires, man. They just all four of them just spinning. I said, dude, you go out and put some slack in this sumbitch and just really give it some diesel and haul ass. And he did. He ripped off and just pulled it. He jerked it right out of my damn hands. And so, man, I said, you know what, we're going to do one better. So I lassoed it around my upper torso, beneath my shoulders, my armpits, and man, he gave it hell. It's about a 60-foot chain, and he hit that sumbitch with everything he had about 50 miles an hour, and I swear to God, I want to say thank you. It was Billy Bob Jim Bob is who was pulled me out. And that really is his name. His first name is Billy Bob. His middle name is Jim. And his last name is Bob.
I really don't understand where you come up with all these stories. I mean, you can take 5 seconds and you have this 10-minute story. It's insane. We were driving down the road the other day. And one of the trailers that we were using had a blowout. It had a flat. It was leaking air. And we change
well,
it out.
But you, when we pull into the shop, you're the one that heard the tire.
Yeah.
I'm so damn dead.
Yeah, you can't hear anything.
And you said, hey, Uncle Steve, because this tire's got a leak in it. And I said, how do you know? He goes, I can hear it leaking.
Yeah.
I said, all right, go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, we get in there. Helicopter flying over low.
Yep.
We get in there, and we start changing that tire. And we get the spare on, and we back out of the barn, and we're going on our way. We're going to go ride somewhere. And he just starts talking about this radical idea that we have a tire shop, and he goes on about this tire shop for a good 5 minutes. I mean, it just you can't I'd like to say you can't make this up, but you do. I mean, just like that story, I don't know how you keep your composure. I don't know how you come up with all these things.
Yeah, but the kicker was, you know, we got to have a cool ass name for our tire shop.
Tell
it's
them.
Called 2MF Tires. People ask me what does 2MF Tires stand for? Two motherfuckers. That's who, me and my damn nephew, Neil. That's who it stands for. We're trying out here making money, help people out.
Yeah.
We got a road service.
We could. Really could. We passed two people on the way out to where we were riding that needed help.
Man, I'm glad you brought up that flat tire on my utility trailer. My 2003 Chevy Z71, my baby, white and pewter, cab and a half. I love that damn truck.
Yeah.
And I have had that damn thing rigged up and ready to go for any type of off-road, on-road emergency situation. We finally had one. Me and Neil was trying to, we got the four-wheeler in the back of the pickup. We got the Terex and the utility trailer, so we backed the Terex off. I got out my jack out behind my seat.
Yeah.
I had a block of wood in there to put between that and the axle, so I ain't got to jack it up so high. I had a four-way tire tool, and Neil says, damn, Uncle Steve, and you got an impact wrench and what'd you call it?
Yeah, impact.
Impact driver.
Yeah.
And I said, damn right, man, I do. And I got this big ass, badass compressor. We flipped the switch on that, man. Hell, man. If you would have been videoing that, if I'd have sent that to Dale Earnhardt Jr., if he was still running the NASCAR, he'd probably get me on his pit crew.
Is he not running anymore?
Dude, I heard he was going to retire.
Really?
Well, that's what the word on the street was.
I don't watch enough NASCAR.
Let me speed dial him and see what he's
doing. Yeah.
I'm going to get him on a podcast one of these days. But, yeah, I was finally proud that I was able to utilize all the bullshit that I got stuffed by. Now, I can get, like, one person in the front of my truck. The rest of the back, there's a seat back there, but the whole floorboard is full of outdoor shit that you need if you have any kind of malfunction on the road. Yeah. I'm ready to go, brother. But we weren't ready to go today.
No, we were not prepared.
Man, have you had fun out there ripping it up?
I've had a lot of fun, and there's been some frustration.
Tell me about the frustration.
Okay, so I get here, folks, and Steve's like, oh, we're going to go ride. When I came here in, April, we took the Bronco out to some land and drove it up some steep hills. It was fun, you know, but we didn't have any of the, you know, what would you call them? UTVs, I guess?
Yeah, I didn't have the brute force yet.
Yeah.
I didn't have a Terex yet.
No, you didn't have anything to really go fast on.
I got the mules, but they're a little bit more flat and more work-oriented.
Yeah.
But we were in some real rocky technical stuff.
So we get out here, and we go to this spot down the road, and we're on the Terex. We just drive it from your house. And he's going to the land, and he's driving. I'm sitting in the passenger seat. I don't really know what to expect. You know, this thing, he talks so much about it. We talk about it all the time. He gets out there and he starts ripping it around, going up these hills and cutting these corners and slamming on the brakes, hitting these whoops. I mean, just hauling some ass. And he's like, you want to drive? I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, I'm from Texas. We don't have any hills. You know, we hardly have any rock. It's just dust and dirt and gravel. You know, that's what we're flat. That's all we have. And, I got in the reins of that Terex, and I took off, and you were videoing, and I was smiling. I was cheesing because you were videoing me. Dude, we went over one of those whoops. I think I almost gave you a concussion. You had that handle in your hand, and I had to hit the brakes pretty hard. But after that little hiccup right there, it was pretty smooth. You know, I got the hang of it. I got the feel of it, and that was good. And then the next day, we took out the two four-wheelers, And you got those big old tires on your Polaris that kind of broke it down, I guess.
Man, that's the four-wheeler that I used to drive down on Monday Night Raw. Man, as everybody knows, I'm a brand ambassador for Kawasaki Motorsports, and I love that Brute Force because it's so badass. You know, you'll talk about it because you're going to ride it. But I was going to put Neil on that Brute Force because it's got power steering, it's the latest, greatest technology, and it's just a badass rig. And I was on that 01, and I just had a set of new tires on it because way back in the day when I owned the Broken Skull Ranch, I'd already retired, and WWF was running San Antonio. Well, the Broken Skull Ranch used to be, had it down there in Tilden. It's about 80 miles from San Antonio. So I called Vince on the phone. I said, hey, Vince. I said, man, you guys are running San Antonio. And they always kept that four-wheeler in the back of an 18-wheeler in case I showed up. I'd ride it down the ring and do all that. And I said, hey, man, I said, do you mind if I come over and borrow that four-wheeler? And he says, hell, Steve, you can just have it. Yeah. I said, all right. So, man, I drove my white pickup down there, loaded it up, and took it back down to the ranch. And to this day, right now, it has about 107 hours on it. And because we rode it the other day, it now just broke 1,000 miles. That thing is like brand new.
Yeah.
But the tires were dry rotted. So I took it down to the cycle shop here, and I got a brand new set of Ripsaw tires put on that mug. And these are 6-ply tires. And my buddy up there, JB, told me, he goes, Steve, the reason that thing was riding rough, we had it at 15 PSI to seat those tires. So you need to back that pressure off. But I didn't know that then.
Yeah.
Man, me and Neil, there's some trails that I have picked out there, some real rocky stuff, some pretty technical stuff, some pretty cool stuff.
Good.
But, man, Neil was right on my ass, and I could hear that nasty V-twin Brute Force ripping it behind me, and I'm over here giving it hell. That Polaris, it just seemed like, because it's an older rig, I'm not running the machine down, but it's just the suspension wasn't the same. You're talking about 16 years difference technology. And, man, well, something broke because my steering wheel's got about 3 inches of play in it.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
I busted something in there. So that wasn't the greatest experience in the world, but I wasn't going to turn you loose on that thing. But that was a pretty damn good ride.
Yeah. I used to ride that four-wheeler down at the ranch. You know, you turned me loose on it, and one time I was young. I was probably, 12 maybe?
Yeah.
And you're like, just stay on the roads. Don't go too far. Dude, I'm pretty sure I came back and I gave you 3 flats, you know.
I never forgot about that. Every time you rode that sumbitch, I had to put a plug in it.
Well, yeah, look what happened today.
And the thing about it is, oh, man, going back to today. Well,
we'll get to that.
When we had that flat on that utility trailer yesterday, we was trying to get out there because Neil's time is limited. Today is his last day as we record this podcast on Wednesday. He's leaving for Texas on Thursday. When are you heading up to A&M?
15th. Yeah.
But I was so mad, man, before we backed all that equipment off that trailer and started using all my equipment in the back of my truck because I'm ready. And I had some big ass, long ass 45-foot jumper cables back there as well. I said, man, let me just get my tire plug kit and we'll just plug this thing.
Yeah.
I ain't got to change it. I looked everywhere, and the time when I got, you know, a lot of the stuff for my shop, me and my brother-in-law Mitch went down to Home Depot. We got all kinds of shit. I think I spent about $2,000 down there, and I still need a bunch more. I could have swore I had a tire plug kit, and I remember I'd left a few items on the counter. The lady didn't bag them up, so I went back and got them the next day.
Yeah.
But that never made it back there. So, man, after we had to, we was ripping it up this morning, and normally Neil likes that Brute Force 750 so much. I said, man, I'll just let him ride that. He rode it all day yesterday. I'll stay in that Terex. I said, hey, man, let me start off with four wheeler so I can get me a little dose of it. Because when you rip that thing, that 750 V-twin just squalls.
It does.
It'll straighten your arms out.
Yeah.
And so, man, we'd put only 15 miles in, but it's some good riding.
It was.
We got off in some rocky shit. And we just stopped because it was on a big old plateau. And I said, hey, man, let's just kind of take a view here and just kind of chill out and get a drink of water. And we did that. What happened?
So we turn off our buggies, you know, and take off our helmets. I open the door to the Terex that I've been crammed in for the past, 2 hours? Not even. Maybe. Yeah, 2 hours. I get out. We're on top of this little hill. We got a great view. We can see the truck about how far you think the truck was.
Man. About 4 or 5 miles.
Yeah, it was this white speck. That's all we could see. So I get out, and I'm going around the Terex to grab the cooler for my water. And lo and behold, my back right tire is flat. I mean, nothing in it. It's got a big old hole in the sidewall. And I saw that, and I said, ooh.
That's the international sound for this ain't great.
Yeah, this ain't great.
He goes, Uncle Steve. I said, what? He goes, we got a flat tire. And he kind of had this look on his face. I said, you ribbing. He goes, no, we got a flat tire. I went back here. Yep, you're right. We got a flat tire.
Yeah, it was a pretty big flat tire.
And then I looked at that little white speck in the distance, which was my Chevrolet pickup truck with my utility trailer. And I'm like, God dang it, man. You know, when you break down in the middle of nowhere, 4 or 5 miles is a pretty good hike. But, I mean, you know, it's not drastic. I mean, it's not too crazy.
No.
But I didn't want to walk 5 miles in this damn smoke.
No.
Because there's been all kinds of fires in California. There's a couple in Nevada. But basically all the smoke is coming from California. The air quality was so bad, we was going to go ride the other evening, and we canceled the ride because they said, hey, man, there's so many particulates and matter in the air, and, Neil, I couldn't risk your brain. You're going to need your brain to go to engineering school at Texas A&M. So if we'd have went out there and just got all that particulate and matter in your brain, I would have never forgiven myself. But back to the story. The task at hand was we got a flat tire. Now, on a tire, I guess you can attempt to put a plug in a sidewall,
yeah.
Anything in desperation. But, man, that was a real come-to-Jesus moment for me because I'm glad it happened because you and me were together, and we tag-teamed, and we rode that thing real slow, got it close to the road. Then I got on the four-wheeler, loaded it up in the truck, hooked up the trailer, and then came and got you, and you drove it on. My point is, riding out here, had I been by myself, way back in BFE, if I was just out exploring like we were,
Today
was awesome day because we saw a couple of mule deer. But, man, I got to get me a tire plug kit. I got to get me some – I probably want to get my – we slimed everything. I don't know if anybody out there slimes their tires. I
mean, yeah.
If you're in the four-wheel drive, but down here in South Texas, because so many thorns and stickers and stuff like it, we always slime our tires. I don't know if they do that out here in Nevada, but – there's so many rocks. If I'd have had at least an air compressor or just some air, a tire patch kit or plug kit and some foam or something, some fix-a-flat, something to get my ass off air, because if I'd have been back here by myself, it'd have sucked ass.
Yeah, one of my tires was low the other day, and we were at my boss's house, and it was really low, like you could tell. And my buddy came out with this can. It was like air in a can or something like that, and dude, he put all of it in my tire and you couldn't even tell. So I don't know if they have that right here. I don't even know what it was called, but you need to look into it.
Well, I'm definitely gonna look into it because I gotta get my shit right, man.
Yeah, and maybe just putting like a spare rack on the back. You can't do much of that bed they got back there on the Terex.
No, but it's just enough for what you need to get down the road. So yeah, that's gonna be perfect. And the thing about it was, I think we got 15 miles in, but there were several points where we were in some technical stuff and we were taking some, some beauty shots and stuff like that. Hey, how about that time?
I've been waiting for this.
How about that time when I told you to take a picture of me? I just posted it on Instagram. I got my hands up like I was in a damn WWE wrestling ring. So what happened?
All right. So we get to this little spot and Steve's like, hey, I'm going to drive down there. You take some pictures for me. If you've been following Steve on Instagram the past week, every day there's been pictures of me and him riding or doing something.
See, that's a problem because I want to post some pictures, but it's hard to take a picture of myself at a wide angle. So I bought me a selfie stick.
Jesus.
Yep, you heard it here first. I bought a selfie stick. Let me finish. Neil just put his microphone down. He's walking out of the house. I just, the best uncle in the world, just shit the bed. So I got this selfie stick. I can extend it about 3 foot. And you sync it up, Neil, because you're a millennial. You're into all this technology.
Yeah.
You sync it up via Bluetooth. So you hit that little button and it takes a picture for you.
Yeah.
So, I didn't need that selfie stick today. I haven't even used it yet.
Good.
I haven't used it yet.
There's a thing called self-timer.
I had you. Yeah, but I got to have something to hold it. Whatever, just prop it up on a damn rock.
Yes.
Carry a tripod with me.
Yeah.
Come on, please.
Nikon makes a good one.
So anyway, there I was. I said, hey, Neil, take a picture of me. So I rode my four-wheeler over there.
I'll take it from here, Steve. So he's like, hey, I'm going to take some pictures of me. I was like, okay, yeah. He goes over there. I mean, he's probably a good 100 yards away from me.
And 100 yards?
Yeah.
What are you talking about, bullshitter?
No.
I'm about 40 yards away.
No, you were not. Okay, whatever the distance was.
Let's call it 50.
60. Okay.
Okay.
Anyways, I zoomed in a little bit. You know, I didn't know what you wanted in those pictures. You didn't tell me. You just said, take a picture of me. Just like the other day, you said, take a video of me. Well, I was videoing the wrong way. You wanted it sideways. I was doing it up straight. Anyways.
Okay.
It made it. So, he's over there posing, looking all good. And he takes off. And I think he's going to go up this ridge, and turn around. No, he goes over the ridge and I just hear him. He's gassing it. He's just leaving me in the middle of Nevada. I have no idea where I'm at. And I'm just like, okay, well, do I wait here or do I go after him? I was like, I'm going to go after him.
So that's the international sign for come get me or follow behind me, because I just figured, hey, man, photo ops are over. I done took my couple of pictures. I'll haul ass and you got to put. But the problem was you had to get back in your rig.
I had to put my helmet on, put my gloves on. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So anyways, I'm going after him, and thank God this trail didn't split up into like one or two ways, because I would have been lost like I was almost yesterday. I'll get to that in a second. But I finally see his helmet sticking out in this brush, and he's stopped, and he's very still, and he's leaning off the side of his four-wheeler, and he's taking pictures of this mule deer up on the side of this hill, and it's pretty good sight. And I'm happy I caught him, because, dude, yesterday scared me.
What happened?
I'm on the brute force and you're on the Terex, and we're going through some unexplored area.
And man, we had ridden it slow before.
We rid the lap on the outside. We haven't gone on the inside.
Yeah, but there's some good stuff where you could really just fishtail around and be aggressive. Use some body language on that thing.
Yeah.
So we were ripping it up pretty good. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Steve decides to just take this road, and you know, I'm getting dusted out. I got my goggles on. I'm in a helmet, but still, I mean, my eyes are watering. I got dirt clods coming out of my eyes. And I'm just trying to keep up because I don't want to get lost. And Steve hauls ass anywhere and everywhere he goes. Regardless of what he's driving, he's going fast. So I see him get his little phone out, and I know he's about to start going hard to try and get this good Instagram video. So I just kind of prepare myself, and he takes off. I'm in the dust. I have no idea which way he went. There was one point where the trail split off into three ways, and the smoke was covering all of them, so I had no idea which way to go. I saw your roll cage in the distance, and I took off for it. I didn't know there was a whoop right there. I took it hard, banked into a tree on my left, and I had to duck underneath about three or four trees. I had branches sticking all over me. I was yelling at you. I know you couldn't hear me, but I was angry because you were just doing your thing, videoing yourself, ripping through this course. And here I was with trees stuck all over me, you know. I was upset.
Well, man, most of the time when I was driving the Terex, when I'm on the four-wheeler, it's easy to turn around. But when you're sitting on that side-by-side, it's kind of hard to turn around and look all the way behind me to see you, because it's a narrow profile when you're on that four-wheeler. And so I always keep turning around, especially if we're going over a big whoop or I hit it and I get to it first. I'm trying to hit my brake. So if Neil sees my brake light, because like he said, a lot of it is unexplored territory for us.
Yeah, and I couldn't see anything because there's nothing but dust, so I just had to go off of your body language.
Yeah, so I was trying to give him a little bit of heads up or 411 about what was to come up, because I didn't want him flipping off the handlebars of that damn four-wheeler. And number one, I don't want my nephew getting hurt out there, but also at a close number 1B, I don't want him to jack up my brute force because it's a brand-new four-wheeler. What the problem is, man, when I'm driving a side-by-side, it's hard for me to turn around. Man, I got a C3-4 Fusion. I got the helmet on.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look forward. And then when I'm trying to turn around in that bucket seat, that's the thing. It's the bucket seat.
Yeah, it's
tough. Because when I'm on that four-wheeler, you can just turn your whole body around. But you got it tucked in there real nice. And a lot of times when you're hitting those bumps, that seatbelt will ratchet down.
It does.
So it's hard to turn.
Yeah.
So I just figured, hell, man, I look back here pretty quick. I try to check on you as often as I can, but it's like, can't check on him. I just maybe he'll keep up because he's a pretty damn good rider.
Yeah. No, I got the hang of it, you know. And before we went out on the four-wheeler, Steve, we were eating dinner one night, and Steve looked at me and said, what's your four-wheeler skill level on a scale of, you know, one to five? And I said, I looked at him, I said, 6. He just looked at me. He didn't think it was funny. You know, I'm from Texas. We don't have any we don't have rocks. We don't have mountains. We don't have hills. We don't have these deep washouts.
Because I was used to riding down there, you know, on those flat Senderos, all the roads down there at the ranch.
Yeah.
And so, man, all of a sudden I got out here, and then I got too aggressive. And the one day that I didn't have all my riding gear on, I had my helmets and my goggles on, but I didn't have anything else. Dude, I flew off that damn four-wheeler and hit the damn earth, and earth won. I was laying there looking up at the damn sky with my goggles and my helmet on. I'm like, WTF.
Yeah.
Am I still alive? Anyway, we had been riding for quite a while yesterday, and I looked over at Neil. He was about to take another lap. I said, dude, you know how to fall on a four-wheeler? And he kind of looked at me going, what do you mean? Not really. And I'm like, no, I mean, just as far as taking a fall. Has he wrecked a four-wheeler, fallen on a four-wheeler?
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about technical instruction, because I was in a business where I got knocked down for a living. So I,
pretty good at it,
dude. But the thing about it is, man, if you roll one of them things over, I've been riding forever, and you've been riding for a good while yourself. But if you're gonna roll one of them things, the best thing to do, in my opinion, man, just keep your feet on the floorboards and your hands on the handlebars, and just take the roll and just push the thing off for you. Take the roll and just push the thing off of you. Or if you're going over, to me, you don't want to stick out a arm. You can stick out a leg on some things if you're coming out of a donut, but boy, that other back tire come back around and run over you if you don't, you know, like I did it yesterday.
Yeah.
But if you're going to go over, don't stick your hand down because you're just going to break your arm.
For sure.
It's best to just roll with it, let it go over you, or you roll off the machine and just tuck and roll better than anything. So anyway, enough about that. How did you enjoy Lake Tahoe over at the Aunt Kristen?
It was fun.
You said you felt like a mark or a jabroni.
Dude,
what happened?
I felt like a jabroni. I really did.
Why?
So Aunt Kristen's real funny about things. I'm sure you know.
My illustrious wife.
She's a great woman. Love her.
Illustrious aunt.
Yes. So anyways, she wants to go to, we both joint wanted to go to Lake Tahoe. I think she wanted to go more than I did. We were going to go kayaking, you know, so we're going to get there. We find this kayaker in a place. I tried to catch the fly. I missed. Oh, here he is. Nice.
He's running about 9,000 RPM. I know. I hear him flying here, messing up our award-winning podcast.
Let's mic him up. Get him on the mic. See what he has to say. Anyways.
I've done it before.
Yeah. I listen to that podcast. Anyways. We're going to go down there and rent kayaks. Well, she doesn't want to get on a two-person kayak. I don't either. I don't trust her. I want to do my own thing, you know, explore what I want to explore. She can have her fun, you know, it'll be good. Well, then we see these paddle boats, and Aunt Kristen gets all excited about these paddle boats. And she goes up to the lady, well, does any water get in the paddle boats? She goes, no, a lot of water doesn't get into the paddle boats. You stay pretty dry for the most part. And Aunt Kristen's like nudging me like, I told you so, even though I never said that the paddle boats would get any water, you know. You know, she was just all excited and getting into it. And then, anyways, we ended up renting out a paddle boat. We got to get these life jackets on. Here
you know
I am.
How deep Lake Tahoe is? What if your it's little ass would have fell out of that paddle
it's
boat?
It's 1,600 feet. We Googled it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how tall are you?
6 foot.
Okay.
Well, no, I'm not short. I'm 6 foot two, 2.5.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's
I wouldn't be able to stand. Right. We got that point, but
well,
I know how to swim.
You go down the bottom and kick off.
It might take you 20 minutes.
I fell out of the boat. We was out there a couple of months ago. I fell out of the boat, and I could only swim for so much. And
you're too big.
No, I can swim like some bitch. I was damn near just barely missed the Olympic team at 76.
Of course.
Anyway, keep going with your story. I was just going to go off on a little tangent.
Yeah, I figured that's where it was going. So we get out there, you know. And we push off from the shore in this paddle boat. It's got a gimmick steering wheel on it, dude. It's a stick on the back. You know, Evan Rude's 25s, yeah. You know, they had stuff like that. Well, this is like that, but the opposite and terrible. And we were literally 100 yards off, and I turn it towards the shore. And Aunt Kristen was like, you better turn around before we hit this pier. I was like, Aunt Kristen. We're not anywhere close to hitting the pier.
100 yards off.
She was freaking out. She got on to me a couple of times, but I was like, Aunt Kristen, it's fine. You know, it'll be okay.
Did you tell her not to act like a mark?
No, I should have. She was acting like a mark. She was taking selfies. We were taking pictures. I mean, it was a good time. But, man, that life jacket kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, but, dude, when I take my jet ski out, I wear a life jacket. So
well, that's a little different.
Jacket.
You're going 65 miles an hour. I'm barely putting along about 3.
Yeah, I know, but if you'd have fell out, if that thing would have got tipsy, if someone just blasted by in a big-ass boat and y'all got cattywampus, man, if you come down here and you're on your vacation after working your ass off before you go to Texas A&M and you're out here hanging out with me and Kristen, you are our responsibility. You're lucky I didn't put a pair of floaties on your damn ass along with that damn life jacket, because if there's one thing I know for sure is that you're going to get a four-year education and then some.
Well, we talked about...
Can I get an amen?
Well, we... Jesus.
Hey, here's something I've been trying to figure out. Why can a car park itself these days, but we have to drive across town to take a test drive if we want to try out a new car? Why can we get approved for a mortgage in lightning speed, but buying a new car takes an entire day? And why aren't there enough cup holders in my car when I actually need them? Well, our friends at Hyundai have wondered about all those things and are making it all possible now with their all-new Shopper Assurance that includes flexible test drive that comes to you, transparent pricing for convenience, streamlined purchase for efficiency, and a three-day worry-free exchange. The future of car buying is now available in the present. Car buying made easier. It's now possible with Shopper Assurance. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for all the information. One more time, that's HyundaiUSA.com. And if you end up getting a Hyundai vehicle, you're going to need some car insurance. Go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. That's right. Save hundreds of dollars on car insurance at GEICO.com. Extra money in your pocket? It may just be the most rewarding thing you do today. If you're looking for a sports podcast to go along with the Steve Austin Show that will expand your mind, then check out Revenge of the Jocks with Martellus Bennett, new to Podcast One. Join Super Bowl champ Martellus Bennett as he covers a broad spectrum of what it means to be creative, to be an activist, and an overall culture-shaping world changer. This cat is no one-trick pony. Listen free to Revenge of the Jocks with Martellus Bennett each week, exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend, and leave a rating and review. We really appreciate that. Hey, listen up. It's a wild time in the gambling / betting world, so we here at Steve Austin Show are proud to announce that BetOnline is an exclusive partner with Podcast One Sportsnet. These are our go-to guys, the guys we trust for all things betting, lines, odds, wagers, inside info, you name it. And wouldn't you know it, we are right in the middle of baseball season. If you want in on the action, then betonline.ag is your main destination. Head over to betonline.ag and use promo code PODCAST1. That's PODCAST and the number one to receive a 50% sign-up bonus today. One more time, betonline.ag and use promo code PODCAST1 and start winning with your online sportsbook experts.
This is the Steve Austin Show.
We talked about my education and my future career. I'm thinking about going into the WWE.
Really?
Think about it.
No, but tell the folks about your YouTube career.
My YouTube career. Okay. I love YouTube. I watch YouTube until, honestly, I go to bed, you know, and I watch YouTube for about an hour and a half every night, regardless of what it is. It might be a vlog, it might be a car video, it might be a video game review, you know, whatever it is, it's YouTube. I really think it'd be cool to be a vlogger. As dumb and as cringy as that sounds, I think it'd be really cool, you know, to go on trips, different countries, different states. Make videos out of it. I mean, I could have made a hell of a video here with all the riding we did on the paddle boat. Could have gone up a mountain. I mean, the possibilities with YouTube are endless because there's an audience for anything you want to do. There really is.
Well, we were sitting the other day at a sushi restaurant, and you bust out your phone. You kind of did a little intro into your YouTube channel. Can you recreate that for the folks out there?
Yeah.
It's going to be audio rather than video, but this would be a kind of like a sample, if you will, of Neil on his YouTube channel.
I mean, it's kind of a joking thing. You know, when most of the YouTubers do this, they're just kind of cringy. I'll hit them with it. Here we go. What's going on, guys? It's Neil Wiggin. Welcome back to another vlog. I'm here with my Uncle Steve. We're sitting here at the... What is this?
Broken Skull Ranch 2.0.
We're sitting here at the Broken Skull Ranch 2.0 making a podcast. We got Callie on the sofa. Steve's looking at me like I'm a fool, but it's okay. Make sure to leave a like, subscribe, and turn on the notifications. That's just mostly all the YouTubers out there. But I mean,
a version at the sushi restaurant yesterday.
I'm so sorry.
Much more articulate and eloquent.
Well, I'm.
Now, what is with the cheese factor on that? When you got to get the people, like, well, you know, like, because when people do those, they're kind of cheesy.
Yeah, for sure.
If they put on that voice, because you don't normally talk like that.
No. I mean, just like you.
Yeah.
You know, the podcast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't normally talk like
that.
Yeah,
this. You do. You can make it a little sharper.
But you know what? Every time, I remember when I was a truck driver for about 15 years stretch,
Christ.
You get on my CB, what?
Go ahead.
But you understand when you're on a CB, you know, all of a sudden you go from talking like this, and when you talk on a CB, when you hit that button on that damn mic, you go, breaker 19. How about you, Bigfoot? What's your 20, good buddy? Bring it back. What do I got to change? What are you coming to? What are you laughing about?
Because I knew as soon as you said it was going to be bad.
Well, it looked like Red Soul by Breaker. Is anybody there? Come on, truckers, and talk to Teddy Bear.
That's the thing about Steve is he can be such a fool, but he's so good at it because he's so serious all the time. He can hold a role. I don't know why you're not an A-list actor right now.
I don't want to be one.
You should.
I want to be an idiot on my podcast.
Yeah, it's an award-winning podcast. You should be proud of it.
I am proud of it.
You know, I'm really happy that the people wanted me back on the show. The first time.
How do you know they wanted you back?
The people comment and I see their tweets. You know, they want me. They know me. I'm the face of this, Steve.
What else you got going on?
Right now, I mean.
What else have we done? There was so much shit we did.
We went to Reno one day. Went to
Oh, man, that's what we were going to do, man. We were going to go to Hot August National because I want to talk about this. You mentioned it briefly a while ago when you were talking about your YouTube channel, which is something you really want to do. But
yeah.
Maybe you can do that when you get up there to A&M and get your education going. But, man,
sure.
You love cars. And, of course, I do, too. But you've gotten really into a lot of the high-performance, more exotic supercars.
Yeah.
Tell me, what's some of your favorite ones? I started following the Blacklist on Instagram
because you do.
So I follow that. So I just followed them a while ago. So now I'm getting a taste of some of those cool ass cars. What were you saying about that new McLaren $5 million rig?
That McLaren Sienna. Yeah, it's a it's built for tracks only. I mean, that's the engineers. I've watched a lot of reviews on it. Watched a lot of videos on the car, and the engineers. Usually when people build cars, they base it around the driver, make them comfortable. No, this is all about mechanics, aerodynamics, and everything to make the car go fast and get solid track times. And just the design, everything's carbon fiber. I mean, as much as they can put into the car, it's an amazing car. You need to look it up when you get the chance. You need to watch some videos on it. It's very interesting. And I like McLaren. You know, the P1s are, of course, pretty good. The 720Ss. And there's some other ones. I don't. There might be a 610D or a T. I'm not sure, but I'm just familiar with the 720s and the P1s. And of course, I mean, I know all the other ones. I just don't know their name exactly. So there's McLaren, Porsche. You know, they got the GT RS2s and the GT RS3s, which are really interesting and kind of limited. The GT RS3s are.
Yeah, but you know, you also have a huge love affair with the Corvette because that was the genesis of what your YouTube channel was going to be. Because you told me you wanted to buy a Corvette. Go ahead.
Yeah. So my ideal plan is to, you know, graduate from A&M, get a stable job, get some money, buy a Corvette, and make Corvette videos. There's a big audience for car videos, and I just love Corvettes. If I could get any Corvette right now, it'd be a 2012 ZR1. Black. I don't know. I just love the ZR1s from that, the C6 model. I mean, they're gorgeous. And I take a C7 too. We passed one today. It was kind of like a deep lava red with chrome rims and Z06. It's a gorgeous car. And I actually got to drive your buddy Scotty Kachera's Z06. And we were over at their house for Brad's graduation party. And I was like, you got anything new in the barn? Or, you know, I need to see some stuff in the barn, in his shop. So he takes me out there. He's showing me his, 2012 Z28. He only made 500 of them. He's got his Z06. He's got a 59 Caddy. He's got another project car, and he's got a couple other ones. And I'm really
just... You got my car. You got my 74 Z28 over there. If you ever buy it from him, you're supposed to stick a motor back in it. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I got to check out your car, you know, see the progress being made on it. He's got a bunch of antique signs and stuff like that in there. It's a really cool shop setup. You've seen it. You've been out there. Anyway, so we're talking about all the cars and, you know, we're going on. And he's like, you want to drive it? And I just got this pit in my stomach. I said, oh, I don't know. I said, ooh. You can't say no, but you're too scared to say yes with that type of power and that type of car. So I said, yeah. I mean, yeah, sure. I was like, I was really nervous. He's like, the keys are in it. And I was like, oh, man, like this is actually happening. He doesn't care. He wants me to drive the car. Scotty's a great guy. Awesome dude.
Super dude.
And he's like, yeah. And he gave me his car. He's like, go fill it up for me. 93. I was like, okay. So.
93 octane.
Yeah. So I passed by their house. Their barn's a little ways down from their house. And I see his son, Matt, outside. And he sees me driving. I'm smiling ear to ear. And he's like laughing at me because he knows how excited I am. And he hops in with me and we take this thing to town. And dude, that thing is amazing. I love the way that thing drove. I'm 6'2", you know, and, I fit in there pretty well. I love the way it felt. The steering wheel, I don't know, it's not vinyl, is it? I don't know. Anyways, the steering wheel is great. Everything in that car is just amazing. I like the heads-up display on the windshield. It shows you how fast you're going. And, dude, I did a pull, and I went from 30 to 70 real fast. I mean.
What's fast you went in the car?
80.
Good one.
Okay.
I'm sure you might have hit 85.
Yeah. To be honest, I didn't take it too fast. 125, 130.
How'd that feel?
Like nothing. I mean, it just felt like a straight line.
Yeah.
There's no one around. You know, I was two hands on the wheel and just focusing on what was in front of me.
That makes it right.
Yeah, it does. We're down in Mexico, racing in Mexico. No, but he said I could take that thing out for a weekend, and I need to take him up on that, you know? I really do.
Man, my only problem, because he picked me up from airport, and we rode around, and we went out to his place out there in LaSalle. And my only complaint about that car is just because I'm wide in the shoulders. It's a tremendous car, but I had the generation before that, and I had, for me, that had more shoulder room. So I'm like, if I could find one, what was the change off? Was it 12 or 13 when they switched? It was 14 when
it was
they switched.
14.
So if I could get a 12 or 13, I don't need maybe a Z06, maybe just a regular Stingray. I ain't looking to go too fast. I think with the one I had 400 or 420 horsepower. Because I sold my 07, and hell, only had 8,000 miles on that damn thing.
Mm.
What an idiot.
That's a shame.
I felt like a mark when I sold it.
Jabroni.
I was okay selling it because, you know, in L.A., those doors kind of scissor out, and you're so close to the ground, it's hard to get in and out of the damn thing. But now that I'm out here in Nevada, I wish I would have never sold it.
You should have put some suicide doors on it.
I ain't put no suicide doors on it. It'd be a great way to mess up a great car. Why don't I just go ahead and go wing
it? It was a joke.
Why don't I just go ahead and go wing it?
Do it.
Yeah.
Might as well.
What else have you done so far out here?
Man, what have we done?
My wife just walked in the door. I'm trying to have a heart-to-heart conversation with my nephew, Neil. Callie, the black lab, my terror of a dog, just came back in to interrupt the podcast. What are you doing, Kristen? Are you having a good day so far?
Yeah, so far.
Man, I want to thank you. Me and Neil just came back from riding our buggies, as we've been talking about for 45 minutes on the podcast. We roll up after that flat tire, devastated, because we were going to ride for about, we were trying to get about a 50 to 75 mile day in.
Yeah.
So we were on our way to doing that, and then bam, cut us off. So I called Kristen and said, hey, man, we'll be home in about 30 minutes. And we came in, and I've been on a little bit of a health kick lately. No drinking, workouts are going great, putting in super high intensity in the gym, eating. I'm eating so healthy, my wife's going crazy because it won't take her out to eat nowhere. And so, man, we got home and she had Jimmy Dean sausage,
hash browns,
and then she put some butter on top of the grease from the Jimmy Dean sausage, and we had fried eggs, and then I had some grated up cheese because we had tacos last night, put the cheese on top of there. So you talk about a macho-ass damn breakfast.
That was good.
Dude, that was a treat.
Yeah, no, it was really good.
Because I didn't want to come home, fix myself some egg whites and a little quarter cup of cream of rice. So you knocked it out of the park this morning, honey. I love you so, so much. I love you so, so much, honey.
Well, I'm just glad Neil finally enjoyed a meal that I cooked, because every time I cook something, he's not hungry all of a sudden.
That's something I wanted to bring up. My wife took Neil down to the grocery store to get him some groceries, because Neil eats all the same stuff we do, but because he's just an 18-year-old young buck who's sprouting up and growing, he has the capability to eat all kinds of bullshit that would make me weigh 400 pounds. Just before we came over to record the podcast, I got some, miniature Skittles and some miniature Starbursts.
Yeah, those Starbursts unwrapped are deadly.
Dude, that's the ticket. Man, I was going to get like a sugar high off them damn things.
Yeah, no, they're good.
What's Callie tearing up?
A rug.
Got a rug.
Man, every time we try to do a podcast, Callie comes over here. If you got a rug that's supposed to be outside the shower for you to step down on so you don't slip and bust your ass, she steals those. If you've got a rug in front of the sink so you don't have to stand on a hard floor, she steals that. Now she's chewing up the damn rug to the guest house over here. Callie, what is your major malfunction? Christian, you should have seen me trying to kill that fly over here a while ago. Neil whacked him with his baseball hat.
I almost cried.
Well, dude, why didn't you bust out your baseball hat a while ago? Except, no, you over laughing your ass off.
No,
your damn
because...
uncle, damn near about to knock the damn windows out of the house.
Well,
help a brother out. Let me rephrase that. Help an uncle out.
Okay, that's better.
Well, then he killed the damn fly and it landed on my foot.
What'd you
and
do?
She screeched and backed away from him. She didn't stomp on it.
Why did you just kick it up like I do with those foosballs and kick it? Haggy sack,
Haggy
yeah.
Sack.
A foosball.
Jesus. A foosball.
What am I thinking?
Oh, man.
I had to elaborate on his grocery shop.
Oh, man. What else did you buy him?
Oh, yeah. I can give you my inventory.
Dude, you're drinking.
Voice. You can tell him what you want.
No.
You're drinking Snapple with sugar, regular Sprite.
Yeah, I got a 12-pack of Sprite. I'm already ate through that, and it's been, what, 4 days?
Yep. What else?
So we got the Snapple, Peach, the Sprite, 2 packages of Starburst unwrapped, 1 package of Sweet Tarts, Minis, Chewies, 1 large bag of Jalapeno Ranch popcorn. Let's see. Oh, yeah.
Pickled sunflower seeds.
Oh, yeah. Big sunflower seeds. Pickled flavored sunflower seeds. 4 Greek yogurts. 1 Jimmy Dean breakfast in a cup. I ate that yesterday. It was very good. What am I missing?
Orange.
Oh, orange juice. A 6-pack of orange juice. Chips Ahoy.
Dude,
I got a lot.
One Chips Ahoy.
Dude, I've been eating them every night.
See, that's been the thing all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah, and I got 2 boxes of popcorn. That's a lot.
But Chris is cooking all these badass meals, and all of a sudden, you know, after about, I don't know, half a plate.
No, that's a lie.
Oh, bullshit.
No.
Lie.
No, that's a lie.
Then 5 minutes later, he's in the pantry getting candy.
False.
What's up? Hey,
Stone Cold
my buddy
Steve Austin.
Shane Helms will say, what's up with that?
False. Let me explain myself.
Dude, you was using them miniature Skittles like salt and pepper on your hash browns. I ain't never seen
that's
somebody
gross.
Put Skittles on their hash browns.
No, I would never do that.
Dude,
no,
if I
but...
had your diet, I'd weigh 600 pounds.
No.
See, like, look, I'm going to tell you right now, enjoy it while you can, because one of these days, you're going to be just like me.
No.
Sitting there watching your nephew eat all that bullshit, and you think, man, I remember back when I did that.
Okay, they think, these people got me all messed up. They got me looking like the bad guy. I'm not the bad guy. I eat everything on my plate. I just don't eat more. Usually, I eat my full plate and get another plate. Well, they always yelling at me. I slow down.
Now, hold on.
Oh,
I wouldn't say
Jesus.
Yelling at you.
They were screaming bloody murder, forcing me to eat. No, they weren't. They weren't. It was, they're just, it was peer pressure. That's what it was.
It was regulation.
Yeah, it was regulation. Anyways, yeah, so I'll eat my plate. Might leave 1 or 2 bites on, but it's because it's so filling. I mean, I eat it all, but I slow down and y'all think I'm not going to finish, but I do.
But I always see you in the pantry before dinner eating cookies.
Well, sometimes I get hungry.
But he uses them cookies as an appetizer.
Yeah, it's like chips and dip at a Mexican restaurant.
There's a method to his madness.
There definitely is.
Dude, I bet your mom is glad to see you going off to college. Because, man, I tell you what, the last time you came and stayed with us when we was in Marina Del Rey, shit, I thought I was going to pick up aluminum cans on the side of the road.
Well, that's
your damn grocery bill.
I stayed with Kevin one night in my whole life.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. I stayed with Kevin one night, and he couldn't handle it. He said, thank God you're leaving, because you act like a human garbage disposal.
Yeah.
And he was upset. I was eating everything. I just eat a lot. I do.
Well, you got to. What were you going to talk about? You said you had
Longmire.
To talk about Longmire.
Yeah. And then what it's like.
Me and Kristen are right in the middle of Longmire, and we're in season 2, and Longmire is the sheriff of Absaroka County in Wyoming. And he's got Vic and Branch and Ferg, Ruby, the whole crew out there fighting crime. And Longmire, to his credit, drives a 94 Ford Bronco with a maroon stripe. I got a 95 Bronco with a silver stripe.
Yeah.
I got a better looking rig than his, actually. But I got to get some better wheels. Are you enjoying Longmire? Because now they're starting to drop a couple of seeds. It was very, very simple to begin with. But now they're starting to get some seeds that are going to develop. But, Kristen, I still think that they can make that thing just a little bit more complex. It's just a little formulaic. Am I right or not?
Yeah. you're right, but I'm enjoying it.
Well, I enjoy it too. So, in the two episodes that you've seen, Neil, are you digging it? Is it something you're going to watch at A&M?
You know, I like it. I like that it takes place in Wyoming, you know, and the sheriff. I like that type of show. What makes the show for me, what I like the most about the show is when Steve and Kristen hound on the plot line. Because everything just falls into place right when it needs to.
Are you old enough to remember Mystery Science Theater 3000?
I have no idea what that is.
There'd be like these two cartoon characters are kind of like aliens, and this one dude, like a regular dude, and they're watching something like an old science fiction movie.
Yeah.
And they narrate over the top of it about how corny it is or all the things that are going wrong.
Uh-huh.
So that's basically, you're getting Mystery Science 3000
out of
right here while
Steve
we're watching
Kristen.
Longmire.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, we're like Heckle and Jekyll.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're nitpicking it to death.
For sure.
Like, oh,
and it makes
come
it,
on, man.
It's hilarious. Yeah. It's hilarious. But no, the show's good. You know, I think it is a little repetitive. They have an issue. There's a lead, a mislead,
it's
lead again. And then they catch the bad guy.
Yeah, but I'm digging it. It's pretty simple. Now, like, here's the thing. You can watch, I don't like to do this, but you can watch Longmire, and if you wanted to, you could surf internet. But if you're watching Breaking Bad or Ozark or something like that.
You have to pay attention.
It's so complicated, and you don't want to miss one single morsel or tidbit of information.
No, that's the thing. I tried to watch Game of Thrones. Very complex. Very, you have to pay attention to it.
Right.
And I don't know if y'all have watched it. If y'all haven't, y'all need to. It's pretty good. See, I just don't have the attention span to sit there for an hour.
Well, I ain't either.
Unless I'm really interested in it.
That's why I like Longmire. I rag on it, but as simple as it is, it's a good show.
Yeah, and what I like is Parks and Rec. Very simple show. It's like The Office, except it's not. That's the best way to describe it.
So did you talk about your trip here?
No, not once.
Not that, our trip to Lake Tahoe.
Oh, she said, yeah. He talked all about the trip to Lake Tahoe. He said you made him wear the life jacket. But that wasn't probably Kristen. It was also, that's probably rules.
Yeah, but no, we could take him off after we got on the water.
Did you tell that you tried to order a dill pickle slushie with condensed milk?
I did not tell that story.
Where did you get a slushie with dill pickle and what'd you put on?
No. That's gross. I went up to the organic, non-culture, non-GMO, non-vegan, everything. Yeah. Everything. Snow cone stand, organic ice. Swear that's what it said. And I was like, yeah, do you have pickled flavored snow cones?
Organic ice?
I swear.
It had non-GMO, organic, kosher, gluten-free.
Literally everything.
Yeah.
Organic ice. I don't even know how you make organic ice.
Yeah.
No idea.
Are those Starbursts and Sweet Tarts organic?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I asked for a pickle snow cone. She looked at me like I was crazy. I was like, okay, maybe it's just like a Texas thing. I don't know. So I was like, okay, I'll take a watermelon. Is it have cream? It's condensed milk. Put that on top of a fruity flavored snow cone. A1. Great.
Is that a millennial thing? They didn't have it when I was growing up.
Never had cream?
You had like red, grape, and lime.
I like how you said red the color, like that was a flavor, and then grape, not purple, lime, not green. Red is just its own entity.
I don't know, it's like a berry.
Jesus, Steve.
Well, I don't know if it's like strawberry.
It's probably cherry.
It was artificial coloring.
whatever it was good.
And it wasn't organic.
No.
And look at we live to tell about it.
Yeah, y'all are fine.
Man, I'm starting to get this weird feeling, man. Those Sweet Tarts and those miniature or those wrapperless sunburst things. I told Neil, I said, man, if these are like crack. I said, I ain't never done crack, but if I did, I bet this would be exactly like it. I'm starting to scratch the inside of my arm. I got to go have some more.
Hey, you're fiending.
Yeah.
That's a new term. Have you heard
that? What is it?
Fiending. You know, there's a fiend.
A fiend?
A crack fiend.
A crack fiend.
Fiend. Fiend. Fiend.
How you say F-E-E-N?
It's F-I-E-N-D.
Fiend.
It's fiend. The D is silent.
No, it ain't silent.
I'm fiending. No, it's fiend. You're a crack fiend.
It's all new terminology we don't know about.
Dude,
anyways.
Crazy?
No.
I'm three times as old as you.
You've also been hit by about 10 steel chairs.
You fiend? I ain't gonna say, what am I gonna call somebody? Hey, you fiend? What is that?
Yes.
You don't pronounce the D, I don't think.
No, you don't, Steve. You're wrong.
Hey, man, if you know the American language, are you supposed to use the D in fiend or not?
Let us know.
Fiend or...
It's not fiend.
Dude, I'm telling you, it ain't... Yeah, it is.
It's fiend.
It's fiend.
You never heard anyone be called a crack fiend?
Crack fiend.
No.
Dude, I'm telling
you. We're having a complex argument right now. Man. Fiend, yeah.
Is that the way y'all say it these days?
Yeah, you fiend. You're such a fiend.
So, like...
Sounds harsh.
Like, who's someone that's very close to you?
You. My uncle, Steve Austin.
Okay, but an accomplice, one of your running buddies.
Jacob Martinez.
Okay, Jacob. Would you consider Jacob a friend or a friend?
Good try, but that's not happening. We know how you pronounce... Friend, Steve.
Yeah,
come on.
This is my best friend.
No, maybe my best friend.
See, I heard the deal on the back.
Yeah, I did too. I'm just trying to make myself. Steve, it's fiend. Okay, I promise.
Okay, this is my best friend. How about you?
What are you talking
about? If you just don't pronounce the last part of any word you say? Is that what you want to do?
Go try that. Try that.
Millennials, I guess I'm out of touch. My podcast is out of touch. I'm out of touch.
You're losing,
Kristen.
It, Steve.
You're out of touch. No. The only one in touch here is Neil.
I'm in touch and in control.
Did he talk about his YouTube career?
We already talked about it.
Yeah,
he didn't do as good an open as he did in the sushi.
No, it's a little goofy.
He got nervous.
I look like a mark,
like a jabroni.
Yeah, I feel like a jabroni.
Yeah,
people out there be like, really?
Hey, I wanted to ask you about that. You was telling a story a while ago, and you said the gimmick word. So, how has the wrestling language come into your life?
Well, not necessarily the wrestling language, but it's just, well, I mean, yeah, I guess so. Because of you. I hang around you so much. You know, you're my uncle, one of four. And, I mean, you're pretty close, you know. So I guess hanging out with you, picking up what your habits are and stuff like that.
So do you use these wrestling lingo terms with your friends?
Yes, I say gimmick all the time.
I do too now.
Wow.
That's rubbed off on
unbelievable.
It only took 14 years.
I can't believe it's been that long.
Yeah, and she uses Mark and Jabroni.
I use Mark sometimes.
What else do you use, Kristen?
Gimmick, kayfabe.
That was kayfabe, yeah. Well, she got a whole thing of them.
Like the bar?
If she ever wants to get into the Kit Kat. Oh, you're talking about my sign?
Kayfabe bar.
Yeah. Well, anyway, on another note, today's your last day here. So we went riding today. We were trying to get way more miles in. That didn't happen because we had a flat. We came back. We had a badass breakfast supplied by Kristen, which you tapped out.
No, I did not. I ate it all.
And then I said, well, hey, man, there's a golf course, pretty badass golf.
Yeah, it looks
right
pretty
down
good.
The road. So I figured we'd go golfing. And you remember last time when you came and saw some Marina Del Rey, we was over in Long Beach. We got shut down by hooligans. And then Neil spots one of those, what'd you call it?
Driving range.
The driving range, but it's got a name to it. The gimmick one was like a stadium.
Top Golf.
That thing was shut down. It was like going up to Wally World and go, sorry, folks, we're closed. Doing renovations. Yeah, renovations? Well, you're on the right part of the course. I'll hook everything. I won't hit you. So anyway, we got shut down there, but we're not going to get shut down today, so we're going to go play golf. And when you and me were kind of, you know, going to the driving range, I started getting a groove after you left. And I still got a shitty swing.
Yeah.
And Neil played for a Grenada High School Indians on the golf team. And a damn good golfer. So today we're going to go out there and duke it out head to head. And you're probably going to be laughing at me the whole time because I ain't played in a couple of months. My swing... last time I thought they was going to kick me off the course because I dug about a 3-foot divot on the driving range. So it's been absolutely brutal. And then my back was hurt, so I had to stop for a little bit. And then Aunt Kristen started bending the shit out of her left arm. You were whacking straight down the fairway.
Thing.
She started bending her left arm, and they started going all over the place.
You know, I was really proud of you, Steve. You know, I took you to that driving range. You had your glasses on. You had your hat on. You were incognito. You were focused, though. You were willing to learn. So I left. I flew out. I think it might have been that night. I got home. I literally just pulled up to my house. And you called me and said, hey, what are you doing? I was like, I just got home. He's like, oh, yeah? I was like, yeah. He's like, well, we just went to Dick's Sporting Goods. And I was like, oh, yeah, what'd you get? He's like, got me a new Callaway Rogue. Right? You got a Rogue, don't you? Yeah. So in a previous conversation, I told Steve how much a new driver would cost him. He got a little upset, says it's too expensive, he's not going to waste his money. Fast forward, here he is, brand new Callaway Rogue. You were trying, you know, and I thought you were really putting in the hard work and getting a little better. And to hear that you haven't played in months is upsetting.
It's collecting dust.
It's sad.
You know, a lot of the guys from the PGA, you know, they're hot and heavy right now on all the tour. They're calling me and asking me for advice. So, man, I just haven't had the time to go out there and work on my swing. I'm helping their, helping them dial in their swing. So I'm doing a lot of Skyping, some video stuff. Also, I'll do a positive thinking type thing where we'll go through a checklist. I want them to visualize their shots. So I've been consulting so much, Neil, with some of the top golfers in the world. That I haven't had a chance to go out there, and I'm going to unleash everything. Here's one of my problems. When I go play on a golf course, because a lot of times I've got a transponder here in my watch, and I try to keep my phone with me at all times, and I also carry a satellite phone in my golf bag, because a lot of times when I'm really on and I'm really connecting and cranking and visualizing, when I hit a golf ball, sometimes, you know, that sumbitch just take a life of its own and go into orbit. So I'll call NASA, and then I also got to get on with the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, because if there's some planes flying through the area, shit, I don't know how many windows I've knocked out in Southwest Airlines, these whatnot planes flying over to them. And, you know, they're 40,000 feet, but when I really get a hold of one, Neil, that's what happens. So
of course.
A lot of times it's just too big of a hassle for me to go out there.
Yeah, you're just too good. And, I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Well, and also, I'll hit the damn ball so far. I mean, I'll run out of a charge on a golf cart trying to retrieve my ball because I hit it so far.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that go into
the
reason that I don't pursue golf more seriously than I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just got to work on my putting game. Shit, I know because
that's
I'm normally on the green in one shot.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, you have to.
The other day, I nailed a putt. I think I ranged it at 260 yards.
Jesus Christ!
And Chris says, "What you going to use? A 2-iron?" I said, "No, I think I'm gonna putt it." And sure enough,
I had a 1-iron. I found a 1-iron. I loved it.
Double eagle.
I snapped it.
Double eagle
off of a tree. I was very upset. It was
double
my
eagle.
Get out of jail card.
Double eagle.
What are you explaining? That's an albatross.
Five hole, I just double legal it.
See, you don't even know what the exact terminology is. That's
never
called an albatross.
Never heard of one.
Yeah.
I've heard of an albatross, the bird.
You jabroni.
No, you jabroni. That's a double legal.
No.
Now, would you rather say, okay, now, if you're me, a global icon, a
national treasure,
and
yep.
your uncle.
Say it together.
You want me out there saying, oh, that's an albatross.
Yes.
No, I'm going to say that's a double eagle. I'd rather say double eagle than albatross.
It's all in the tone. You said them two different ways. You said albatross. That's a double eagle.
Okay, let me say albatross like it'd be cool. That's an albatross.
That sounds so cool.
That's an albatross, bitch. Double eagle, motherfucker. See, now, yeah, I'm a double eagle kind of guy.
The energy is off.
Four under par.
The energy is different.
Hole in one on a par five. How many people
did I show you that picture of how close I was to a hole in one on that par three?
No.
Dude, I cried. I literally shed a tear.
Really?
Yes, because it rained that day. And my golf ball that far. I mean, literally was leaning in.
Literally?
Literally. Leaning into the cup. I ran up to the green. It was like 185 par three. And hit a good 8-iron at it. I'm tall, so I can hit my irons pretty long. And it got so close that we thought it disappeared. It just blended in with the back of the cup and the flag stick. It was very upsetting.
Are you going to be okay?
No, I think I need counseling.
Counseling.
Yeah, I do.
Dude, when you get home, I don't want to do it now because we're going to go play golf. We'll Skype, and I can bring you out of this funk.
No, for sure. I'll FaceTime you next time I play.
It's
that sounds like a great idea.
Process that we do.
How many?
73.
But par 72.
No, it's my process to get your mind right is a 73-step process. I want to go through all these checks and balances and get your mind right. He just showed me a picture of the shot that he hit off 185 par 3, and it is literally a half inch from a cup, if not a quarter inch from a cup.
There's no proof that that actually...
Yeah, I mean, how do I know that you didn't pull that golf ball out of your bag and just stick it over there and say, oh, I'm going to take a picture of this.
Okay, well, if I did that, why would I not just put it in the hole and pay my partner $100 to say I hit a hole in one?
That's our story.
Judge, just put it right by the hole, call it macaroni.
Yankee Doodle. Macaroni. Like a classic.
Well, we're going to wrap up the podcast at this time. Neil, it's been a pleasure talking with you.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else you want to cover? Tell people where I can find you out on social media, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Hang on. Been hitting him with so many steel tears. I don't know where to
how many times I've heard you say that.
It's true.
My Instagram is.
I made a living.
My
doing
Instagram.
It. I made a living doing it. I don't believe it.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
No, I think I'm going to keep talking.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I just treat you like a mark.
Yeah. Anyways, my Instagram is Neil Wigand, all lowercase, NeilWiegand. My Twitter is Neil Wigand again. Just add a 73 to it. My handle is Shooter McGavin.
Where'd 73 come from?
I already used Neil Wigand 3 and Neil Wigand 7 and Neil Wigand 37. I needed, and Neil Wigand was already taken because that's my other account. So now it's Neil Wigand 73.
Why do you have so many accounts that you canceled?
I forgot my passwords and my emails to them. Real quick, I do want to end. Everyone the past couple of days is following me and leaving comments on your Instagram saying, I wonder what it's like being Steve Austin's nephew, a global icon and a national treasure. Well, I'll tell you how it is, folks. It's just like having any other uncle, really. I mean, yeah, he's extra. You know, he's Steve. But he's just, at the end of the day, he's just a normal guy, good uncle. And yeah, that's about it. I don't call him Uncle Steve Austin. That'd be a little weird.
Did you cover your new wrestling name?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of
we're talking about Neil's career options while he's down here at the Broken Skull Ranch 2.0, and he said he's gonna. I said I could hook him up with the WWF.
I really wish we would have talked about that a little bit more. Maybe in the next one.
Well, what about it?
We need to get into this, folks. I really think I can make it in the WWE.
Why?
Because I'm your nephew.
Man, that's a nice.
Look
man.
At you.
Man.
You're the GOAT.
That's a tough road. I said, man, that's be a tough one, dude.
I think it'd be worth it.
You got to get in a gymnasium.
A gymnasium?
Yep.
Or a gym?
You got to hit the iron.
Okay, we'll see. When you say gymnasium, I'm thinking like basketball court. Like,
no, man, I'm talking
shooting three-pointers.
Like, coming from where I'm from, man, they know I'm talking about the gym. You got to bang that iron around, dude.
Yeah, and I think
that's going to throw off your golf game. You get all cattywampus, you get big ass shoulders and shit, and all of a sudden you can't hit the ball worth a shit. And then you'd be depressed because you're golfing. And then I got to put you through a 76 step process to bring you back. Geez.
Three
to
more
normal.
Steps.
Yeah,
well, I think
it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, I think I'll just stick with A&M. If I flunk out, which highly doubting.
How many hours are you going to take a semester?
I'm only taking 13.
Good.
It's kind of, it's just the intro.
First semester in, 13. That way you get your, get in a groove.
Yeah.
Don't
learn a schedule.
I remember I took 18 my first semester playing football, and that was a little bit of a load.
Really? You took 18 hours as a freshman?
Yeah.
Playing football.
You worked 2 jobs.
Yeah, but don't get me wrong.
Yeah, 3 kids.
Well, but I mean, yeah, I dropped algebra and I dropped accounting.
Okay.
Algebra kicked my ass out, you know, and all of a sudden, man, I thought accounting, when you first started, it's these credits and debits, addition or subtraction. I think, man, this shit's easy. How hard can being an accountant be? All of a sudden, they started hitting us with that damn theory shit and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
I said, man, F it. I'm dropping this son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? Because at the time, that was when I was going to go into business with Dad and be a partner with him in the insurance business.
Yeah.
So I needed my business major. I thought, and my dad didn't have a business degree. He has a college degree, but he didn't have a business degree.
What is his degree?
I forgot, but he's got one. It might be PE, but he graduated.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's
when I was going to be an insurance salesman. And then I said, well, hell, I'll change that. And that's when I changed to be a PE major. And PE was easy for me because physiology, anatomy, kinesiology was always easy. And on anatomy, when we had the lab, when we had the test, we had to name all the shit in the brain, I just followed the smartest dude around in class, and I just look over what he was writing down. Okay, this is the ectogimic thing in the brain,
ectogimic,
or the pituitary, or whatever.
Okay.
I did get a couple answers from him, but for the most part, that shit was easy for me. But if you throw a bunch of numbers and word problems and this, that, whatever, not so fast, my friend.
Yeah.
I want to wish you well in your endeavors for a higher education. I'm proud of you for picking one of the great institutions of Texas. Texas A&M is an outstanding college. I know it's your dream to go there.
Yes, sir.
Your sister's enrolled there. Did you have any other colleges that you wanted to attend? Because for me, back in the day, I ended up proudly playing for North Texas State University, which I'm so happy about. I played at Wharton County Junior College. I had some of the best times of my life there. But as a kid coming out of a South Texas school, I wanted to go to Texas A&I because I don't know if you remember him, but for the Washington Redskins, Darryl Green came out of Texas A&I, and he was like the superstar in South Texas in football and track and field.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to go to Texas A&I. I like Sam Houston State, Southwest Texas State. So those were a couple of schools that I wanted to go to.
You know, ever since probably freshman year, I've always had my eyes set on A&M. Only other place that I would apply to even, I only applied to Texas A&M. That's the only place I applied to. If I didn't get in, I was going junior college, transferring in, because I wouldn't want to go anywhere else.
I thought you wanted to go to the Longhorns.
The Longhorn
University
School.
Of Texas, Crystal.
Texas University.
Spoken like a true Californian.
The Longhorn School. Yeah, it's like we. Anyway, no, I won't get off into that. Anyways, yeah.
He was at the gimmick gift shop and
yeah. Yeah, I was like, y'all have any A&M stuff? Texas A&M. We're like, oh, is that the Longhorn School? I was like, no, don't ever say that again.
Texas A&M Longhorns.
We got kicked out.
Jeez. Yeah, no, but if anywhere, I was going to apply to Rice. Just to see if I would get accepted. I doubt it. I was number 6 in my class, had a 4-1, very competitive class. But still, my class was so small, I wasn't even in the top 10. Top 10 academic law states that if you are in the top 10% of your class, you automatically get accepted into any D1 university in your state. Well, Rice is private anyway, so that would be even more of a jump, you know?
Well, and the thing there, when people wondered about Rice University, that's in Houston, Texas, a part of the old Southwest Conference.
Yeah.
And my dad played there. He was the right halfback, and I think it was in 58 when they went to the
57.
Cotton Bowl. 57 Cotton Bowl against Navy, and they lost 21-7, and my dad scored Rice's only touchdown.
Yep.
And I remember when Dad wanted me to get, you know, when I came out of high school, I thought I was going to get a full ride, you know, to all these big Division I schools. And Dad took me down to Rice University. We met with the head coach, all that stuff. Dude, I was running a 4.940. I was a running back / linebacker. I didn't have – even though Rice wasn't known for its football back, you know, when I was in high school, back in the late 50s, they were a perennial powerhouse when my father played for them. So they wouldn't pick me up, but that's why I think you were probably thinking about Rice.
Yeah, that's exactly why, because my grandfather went there. But other than that, no. Nowhere else.
Well, man, let's wrap it up because we're going to go to the golf course. It's a few miles down the road, and they got some good loaner clubs. I know you got a set of clubs that are made for you, but they got some good loaner clubs. I think you'll hit them well.
Yeah.
And what we're going to do, we're going to play best ball because I'm either going to hook, shank, slice, 2 feet. I'm either going to hit it in the Kingdom Come orbit or I'm going to hit it about 2 foot. So we're going to play best ball. Well, me and Kristen, after you tee off, me and Kristen will go, and then we'll just drop from where your best hit is. That way we kind of in the same ballpark, and it won't take us all day.
Yeah.
I don't have to live with the embarrassment of playing in the rough all day.
Yeah, that's good. I'll carry y'all. Fine.
All right, man. Good talking to you, Neil.
Yes, sir.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
What's going on, man?
Hi, guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the team. Loveline, man. You guys remember us from back in the day? Well, we're doing a pod, and we're doing it every day.
And we've been doing it for a while. And if I hear one more time people say, God, I loved you and Adam together on Loveline. And I'm like, yeah, we're doing a podcast. Will you please just join us at the Adam and Dr. Drew Show, please?
Right.
At adamanddrewshow.com. It's a great show. Come on now. Only on Podcast One. That's us, Adam and Dr. Drew Show. Just like the old days.
Doctor's orders.
Oh, man, you're funny.
Yep. All right. Let's go save some babies.
Let's do it.
All right, everybody, give me the go home cue. It's time to wrap up his podcast, Ride Off in the Sunset. I want to thank my nephew, Neil Wiggin, for being on the podcast today. He actually had no other option because it was either be on the podcast or be starved. And for me to deprive him of his miniature Skittles, miniature Starbursts, miniature all them sugar-laden bullshit that he eats would be devastating to him. So he had to participate in the podcast. And I wish him all the luck in the world as we go to the golf course where we're going to play 9 holes. and I'm going to bring my A game, and I don't care how much he's been practicing. I don't care what high school team he played for, whether it was Grenada, Edna, Victoria. I don't give a shit. I'm bringing my A game. If there's one thing I can't stand is losing. I'm going out there with the right attitude. And if I got to poke him in the eyes, if I got to trip him, if I got to do something to gain the upper hand, that's what I'm going to do. I'm playing for keeps, and that's the bottom line. I'm just kidding you. We're going to play best ball. We're going to play best ball golf. We're going to hit the ball from wherever Neil hits it, because if I hit that damn thing all over the course, we will never finish. I will hit it north, south, east, and west. That's what I am capable of. I ain't worth a shit, but we're going to have a good time. Thank you, Neil, for joining me on the podcast. Hey, man, we're fixing to have some new Broken Skull Ranch shirts over at ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Austin, and that's the bottom line. And another bottom line is, if you're looking for a damn IPA to drink, I got the best one on planet Earth, Broken Skull IPA from El Segundo Brewing Company. We are at Whole Foods and Total Wines if you live in Southern California. If you ain't in Cali, you're probably shit out of luck. And if you're looking to get a badass pocket knife, I got two for your ass. Cold Steel Broken Skull Knife or the new Cold Steel Working Man's Knife. And you can get them at my new Amazon store. Amazon's got the best price on both knives. Just go to Amazon.com/shop/Steve Austin or go to the Cold Steel Knives website and check out all their badass knives. I want to say one more thank you to all the fine sponsors of the Steve Austin Show, especially BetOnline.ag, Hyundai USA, Geico, and TheraWorks. That's how I'm able to do this podcast for you twice a week for free. Please support them because they support us. And if you need any more info on my sponsors, check out the show description to this episode for details. Folks, I am on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at SteveAustinBSR. Your chance to follow a global icon and a national treasure as he navigates his way through life. Until next time, folks, my name is Steve Austin. I'm full of shit, and I'll catch your ass down the road.
This has been a Podcast One production. Download new episodes of The Steve Austin Show every Tuesday at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.